Romans chapter 9. Now tonight, I want to show you a side of the Apostle Paul that you may not be used to seeing. Sometimes when we think about Paul, we sometimes get the idea that he was so spiritual that he didn't make mistakes. Sometimes we're reading about, you know, his great faith and the things he went through for the Lord. Sometimes we think that he's done so many great things in the ministry that he always obeyed God no matter what. But that's not true. That's not true. In fact, Paul was a sinner the same way as we are sinners. Amen? He was saved by grace, the same as we're saved by grace. And so really, Paul was a man that was greatly used of God, but he still made mistakes just like we do. And sometimes we forget that whenever we're reading our Bibles and we read about the book of Acts and we read all of his Pauline epistles. Sometimes we forget those things. Paul had temptations. He had temptations just like you and I have temptations. If you don't believe this, then you need to read Romans chapter 7. Because in Romans chapter 7, Paul is constantly saying about how he does things that he ought not do, and he doesn't do the things he ought to do, and who's going to deliver me from this body of death, and all that. He understood he makes mistakes, and we make mistakes. And tonight I want to show you that he made some mistakes even when he had good intentions. And may I say, the same thing can happen to us. You see, folks, you may have good intentions, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing God's will, even though you may have good intentions. And this is kind of what we're going to learn about Paul tonight. Now, I want to, in order to show you all that, in Romans chapter 9, we need to read exactly where Paul was coming from before we get to what he did. In Romans chapter 9, look if you would at verse 1. It says, I say the truth in Christ, Paul said, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Again, let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, and I pray that you'll bless it, Lord. As we're here tonight just to learn from it and help us to learn from it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in these verses, we see that the burden that Paul had for the Jewish people. Notice there he said, I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, that's quite a wish. I mean, if you think about it, to say, now here's a saved man that he's saying this. He's saying, you know, I have such a burden for my own people that if it meant them being saved, I wish myself to be accursed. That is some wish. I mean, that's really something to say. Now, of course, Paul knew that he couldn't be cursed. Even back in the previous chapter in Romans 8, verse 38 and 39, he said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he had already written that. He knew that he couldn't be cursed. He knew that once saved, always saved. He knew all these things. And so he knew better than to think that he could be cursed. But if he could have, he would have, for the sake of the Jews, because of the burden that he had for the Jews was so strong. Now, when you read in Scripture, you'll find that there's one other who had the burden for the Jews as strong as Paul, and that was Moses. In fact, back in Exodus chapter 32, verses 31 and 32, here's what Moses said. It says, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. So see, even Moses had kind of the same kindred spirit of Paul, to where they both had such a huge burden for the Jews that Paul over here saying, listen, if it meant them being saved, if it meant the nation of Israel being saved, I could wish myself accursed. And Moses over here saying, listen, you know, Lord, have mercy upon them, spare them, Lord, and if not, just blot me out of your book too. I tell you what, you got to love people for that. I mean, you got to have a burden for people to say something like that. Yeah. So in so many ways, Paul had the same type of feelings for the Jews as Moses did. Paul's burden for the Jews was strong. In fact, it was so strong at times that it robbed him of good discernment and good sense. In fact, that was about to happen about the time that Paul finished the book of Romans. As Paul wrote the book of Romans, he knew that Peter, James, and John, the Lord, Peter, John, and James, that's the Lord's brother, were called to be ministers to the Jews, especially to the Jews in Jerusalem. And Paul knew that he was the apostle to the Gentiles. And he should be headed to Rome. And he should be headed to Spain, according to Romans chapter 15, verse 24. But nevertheless, Paul had this great burden for the Jews. Instead, he decided to head to Jerusalem, even though God warned him what would happen if he went to Jerusalem. Now turn, if you would, over to Acts chapter 20, and I'll show you exactly what happened here. Paul here, he had a burden for the Jews, and God had a plan for Paul. But Paul, with good intentions, because he loved the nation of Israel, he decided he was going to go in a direction that God did not want him to go. He decided he was going to go in a direction that God warned him not to go. In Acts chapter 20, look if you would, starting at verse 22. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, it says this. And Paul's talking, and he says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, the bonds and afflictions abide me." Now, this is clearly a warning from God for Paul not to go to Jerusalem. God, through the Holy Spirit, is revealing to Paul what will befall him if he goes to Jerusalem. But here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that, you know, he doesn't have a clue what's going to happen to him if he goes to Jerusalem, except for the fact that the Holy Spirit of God has revealed it to him exactly what's going to happen if he goes to Jerusalem. But he's still going to go. Paul was not supposed to go that direction. So in other words, what Paul does here, he hears the Holy Spirit, but he chooses not to obey the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Look at what Paul says as a reply to the Holy Spirit in verse 24. He says this, "But none of these things move me." In other words, what the Holy Spirit is saying, it's not moving me at all. May I tell you, that's the problem with a lot of Christians today. A lot of times God talks to the Holy Spirit, but yet we're not moved by that. There are times that when we preach and we talk about the cross, we talk about the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and Christians aren't moved by that. People get a great conviction that they need to get right with God, but yet they aren't moved by that. And the whole time is God warning them and warning them and warning them, get right, need to get right. But they aren't moved by that. That's exactly what Paul here was saying. He's basically saying, "God, I'm going to do this anyway because I love these people and I have such a burden for these people." And then he gives his own reasons. He says, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel, the grace of God." So get this. Paul here, he's warned by God not to go to Jerusalem. And Paul decides to go anyway, despite God's warning. And he uses the fact that he's been called as a preacher of the gospel to justify himself going. In other words, he's got good intentions, and he says, "This is the Lord's work, so I'm going to do it." But it wasn't God's will. And that's where he made the mistake. Now, so he sets off on his journey to Jerusalem. Now turn over to Acts chapter 21. And we're going to follow this journey and see what happens on the way. And I'll tell you what you're going to see. You're going to see just how wonderful and how graceful God is. And you're going to notice that he's the same way to us. Now in Acts chapter 21, chapter 21 begins with a detailed account of Paul's journey. Look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. And then from there, we're told that Paul landed in a place in Syria called Tyre. And in Tyre, a strange thing happens." Look at verse 3. It says, "And now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. And there the ship was to unlay her burden." Now watch, verse 4. "And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." Now Paul had already been warned before he ever went to Tyre, "Don't go to Jerusalem." What does he do? He gets on a ship and goes, "Oh no, I'm doing God's work. I'm being called to preach the gospel." But now get this. He has a burden for the Jews. He's not called to minister to the Jews. God already has people called to minister to Jews. He has James, he has Peter, he has John, he has those people ministering to the Jews. He specifically called Paul to preach to the Gentiles. But Paul here, he has such a burden for the Jews that he says, you know what, I'm going to go to Jerusalem because after all, I'm doing God's work and I'm preaching the gospel and I have such a burden for these people. But wait, he had already been called to do something else. But yet he gets on the boat and he goes to Jerusalem again. And then here it says that when he got to Tyre, it says that the finding disciples, we tarry there 7 days. Who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem? Hey, that's warning number two right there. He's warned a second time, don't go to Jerusalem. Now, surely Paul would heed this warning, the second warning, but what did he end up doing? Well, he did what a lot of lost people do when they come to church. They hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God convicting them about their guilt before God. And so what they do is, just like Paul, kind of wait till the heat's off, wait till the pressure's off, and then he continues to go his own way. Look, if you would, at verse 5. Now remember, they warned him through the Holy Spirit, don't go to Jerusalem. And it says, and he says, when verse 5 says, and when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went on our way. In other words, he listened, but he didn't obey. He kept on going to Jerusalem. Kept on going to Jerusalem. All right, so Paul had been warned two times now, but it doesn't stop there. Look down at verse 8. It says, and the next day we were aware, next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now watch it. Verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Warning number 3. Again, Paul is warned, don't go to Jerusalem. And so, I mean, and not only that, but this guy uses visual aids to try to show Paul not to go. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit, through Paul's friends, even tried to get him not to go to Jerusalem. Look at verse 12. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. So the Lord here is talking, getting people to tell Paul, don't go, don't go. And his friends are telling him, and his disciples are telling him, and Agabus is telling him, and all these people seem to be telling him not to go. But over and over and over, you know what Paul does? He just keeps on heading to Jerusalem. Nothing is going to stop him from going there. Look at what his reaction is to this third warning. Look at verse 13. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done. Now the truth here is if Paul died in Jerusalem, it would have not been for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it would have been for Paul's own stubborn will. The Lord told him not to go. And so then Paul arrives in Jerusalem. And guess what happens when he gets there? Turn over to the next chapter, chapter 22. And look starting at verse 17. It says, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in a temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. How much clearer could you get? Now think about this. He'd been warned three times not to go to Jerusalem, and then when he gets to Jerusalem, he's sitting there in a trance, and the Lord tells him, get out! Why? Because the Lord already knew that these people would not receive the gospel that he's preaching. He knew that these people, all they're going to do is persecute him, and nobody's going to get saved. He already knew this. He goes, listen, this is not where I want you to be. I want you over here preaching to the Gentiles. Get out of Jerusalem. Go back where I wanted you to go. He knew what would happen. But what did Paul do? Well, he argued with God. Look at verse 19. And I said, Lord, they know that I am prison and beaten every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by and consented unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Verse 21. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So he's sitting there arguing with God, and God says, no, I don't want you to stay here. I want you to leave. I want you to go to Jerusalem. Why did he do this? Why did Paul do all this? Well, because he had such a burden for the Jews. He had such a burden for the Jews that he didn't even want to go where God wanted him to go. He just wanted to go where his burden was at. Now, there are three great truths that we get from this story that I want you to see tonight about that has to do with this account of Paul's journey to Jerusalem. And the first truth I want you to see is this. Number one, God uses different means to reveal his will to you. God uses different means to reveal his will to you. Notice that God made his will plain to Paul through different means. First of all, God revealed his will through that still small voice. If you notice, at the very first warning, Paul was talking about how the Holy Spirit had told him about the things that were going to do and how all these different trials and things were going to happen if he went to Jerusalem. It's like the Lord was telling him, don't go, don't go, but he just kept on going anyway. You know, when we preach, when preachers preach, you know, sometimes we hear that still small voice on the inside that says, hey, you're not exactly right. Sometimes you get that when you're reading the Word of God. Sometimes you get that when you pray, and you just know deep down there's just something telling you that something isn't right on the inside. That's what Paul had. He had that still small voice, and God was revealing his will to him. And maybe God's revealing his will to you, or maybe God's showing you that things aren't exactly right in your life, or you have a sin in your life that you need to take care of and confess it before the Lord. But you know what? You have a choice when you hear that still small voice. Either you can listen and do what that still small voice tells you to do, or you can keep on going your own way. Now that's exactly what Paul decided to do. He decided, hey, I'm going to go my own way. I understand that the Holy Spirit told me what was going to befall me when I go to Jerusalem. And I understand that I'm called to be a preacher to the Gentiles. But I have such a burden for these Jews, I'm just going to go anyway because they needed to hear the gospel. And I persecuted them. And I feel bad about that. And I just love my brethren. And so he went on his own way. And he ignored that still small voice on the inside. God sometimes talks to us through that still small voice. Will you listen to that still small voice tonight? Not only that, but God also spoke to Paul not only through a still small voice, but he also spoke to him through disciples and prophets. It was the disciples who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go to Jerusalem in Acts 21:4. It was the prophet Agabus who through the Spirit warned Paul not to go to Jerusalem in Acts 21:11. God spoke through both disciples and prophets warning Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Do you realize that God speaks to us today through disciples and prophets as well? He speaks to us the same way. Now, I'm not talking about people today that claim that they're apostles, and I'm people today that claim they're disciples, and people today that claim that they're prophets. I'm not talking about that. Listen, when a person comes up to you and says, excuse me, I'm Apostle Jones, you tell them, just go away. Because there are no apostles today. You must have seen the resurrected body of Christ to be an apostle today. Therefore, nobody qualifies for that. And today, we have a more sure word of prophecy in the Bible. Amen? So there's no need for prophets today. You have a completed book. There's no need for it at all. But God still speaks to us through disciples and prophets. You say, how? Through disciples and prophets. He speaks to us through the Bible today. You know, when sometimes when you're reading, and I hope everybody reads your Bible every day, but sometimes when you're reading and you get to a passage, I'm sure I'm not the only one that when you're reading and you get to a passage, all of a sudden those words jump right off the page and it's pretty much saying, you got a problem, bub. You need to take care of it. Amen? Why? Because that's God speaking to you through his word. Hey, listen, God revealed his word, revealed his will to Paul through that still small voice and Paul ignored it. And then he revealed his will through disciples and prophets. But you know what? Paul ignored it then. And may I say tonight, as Christians, you're going to have that option as well. When you're reading the Bible and something in that Bible tells you that something isn't right in your life, you can either listen to it and take care of it and do God's will and confess that sin, get it right, even when you're reading your Bible, or you can just skip that part and go to somewhere else in the Bible. You can do that too. But you should be listening to him and obeying him when he tells you what his will is. Whether it be through that still small voice or whether it be through the Bible. So he talks to him about that. He reveals his will through that still small voice. He also reveals his will through the disciples and prophets. Sometimes God speaks to you through people. Through people. Luke said in Acts 21:12, he says, and when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. May I tell you that sometimes God will speak to you through people. You say, well, what people? How about preachers? Listen, if a preacher is preaching the Word of God, and by the way, all preachers should be preaching the Word of God. Amen? But when the preacher is preaching the Word of God, sometimes you may feel conviction from that. That conviction is not coming from me. It's coming from the Lord. Now, that's the reason I'm supposed to be preaching the Word of God and not opinions. That's the reason I'm supposed to be preaching the Word of God and not the morning news from the newspaper. That's the reason I'm supposed to preach the Word of God, not my convictions. I preach the Word of God. And when that happens, sometimes when you hear preaching, you get convicted. Sometimes you get encouraged. Sometimes it's just like the Lord speaking to you. You know why? Because the Lord can reveal His will through people sometimes. He did right there through Luke. He said, hey, listen, don't go to Jerusalem. And so not only did a still small voice tell him not to go to Jerusalem, not only did the disciples and the prophets tell him not to go to Jerusalem, his own friends told him not to go to Jerusalem. God was speaking to him through these people, but yet Paul just kept on going. It seemed like nothing was going to stop him from doing what he wanted to do. And may I say that when you hear a message and you get convicted, when the preacher's preaching, whether it be me or some other preacher, if he's preaching the Word of God, don't get mad at the preacher. Don't get mad at the preacher. If it feels like somebody is stepping on your toes, now listen, if I'm preaching my opinions and I step on your toes, it's bad on me. But if I'm preaching the Word of God and it steps on your toes, it's bad on you. Why? Because that's God telling you. It's not me. You know, and I tell people, listen, rather than getting mad at me, just take it up with the Lord. It's His Word, His book. Amen? And that's something we need to remember. Maybe you're in a place spiritually where God doesn't want you to be. Maybe He wants you to get back where you need to be. Maybe God's speaking to you tonight over a certain ministry you're thinking about doing. God speaks to us through a still small voice. God speaks to us through scriptures. Even sometimes He speaks to us through preachers. And when He speaks to us, we need to listen. We need to listen and do what He tells us to do. God uses different means to reveal His will to us. That's the first thing we learn from this passage. The second thing we learn from this passage is this. Obeying God's will always save you plenty of troubles. Obeying God's will always save you plenty of troubles. You know, because Paul didn't obey God and chose to go to Jerusalem, and then when he got to Jerusalem, he chose not to leave Jerusalem, a place that God warned him not to go to begin with. All those things that had been prophesied that would happen to Paul, you know what happened? They all came to pass because Paul went to Jerusalem. Paul was beaten by a mob. He was bound. He lost 2 years of the ministry in a Roman jail. He was shipwrecked, and he was bit by a poisonous snake. I'd say that's a bad few months, wouldn't you say? And you say, yeah, but the Lord took care of him during all that time. That's true. The Lord did take care of him during all that time. But if Paul had done what the Lord told him to do, if Paul had obeyed God, maybe he wouldn't have went through all that stuff. You ever think about that? You ever think about the trouble we get ourselves into because we think we know better than God? We start to do things according to our will, but not according to the Lord's will. And things start to come apart because of that. Do you realize how much easier life would be if we just obeyed the Lord? Like I was talking to somebody this morning. You know, we were talking about the laws in the Old Testament. And I told him, I was like, you know, ultimately, even though we're not under the law, but if you look at some of those social laws, and, you know, and some of the laws as far as the planting, you know, where they plant the fields and everything. You know, if we planted the fields and every other year we give it rest, and then on the seventh year we give it a bigger rest, do you realize we would have never had the Dust Bowl? Now, we're not under law, but God's way is better than ours. Amen? And if you look at all the different things, like all the laws, like, you know, if you run over, if you kill somebody's oxen and you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that, if you look at those things, those are actually pretty good laws. And we'd probably get along a whole lot better if we did them. But we're not under the law. But God's way is still better than ours. And I will tell you this, if we do things God's way in life, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems in life, because of sin in this world, you're always going to have some problems. But life is easier if you do it God's way than it is if you don't do it God's way. Would you agree with that tonight?
Yes, sir.
In other words, if God has a will and He wants you to do something, it's a whole lot better, safer, and just easier for you if you go the way God wants you to do rather than going in an opposite direction. That's the reason why we have these missionaries, and some of these missionaries go to closed areas. And we think to ourselves, how in the world could you take your family to a closed area? Well, the truth of the matter is, if that's where God called you to be, you're in the safest place you could possibly be. Why? Because that's where He wants you to be. I mean, we forget that we live in a country where somebody could break in and kill us tomorrow, or we can walk out and get run over by a truck, or, I mean, anything could happen. The Lord could take us anytime He wants to. I mean, He can allow anything to happen, and we forget that God's on the throne, and it's always going to be easier going the direction He wants us to go than going in the opposite direction. If you don't believe that, take a look at the life of Jonah. God said, go this way. Jonah went this way. And what happened? Well, I don't know. He was in a bad storm. The boat was rocking up and down. He was thrown overboard. He was swallowed by a whale. That's pretty gross. But that's what happened when he went the opposite direction. Don't you know he wished he'd have went the way God wanted to go to begin with? I'll tell you what. I bet you when Paul was in Jerusalem, it was all over with. I bet he was wishing the same thing. I bet he was wishing, saying, you know what? I probably should have went where God told me to go. Probably shouldn't be here. Why? But he had such a compassion for the Jews that he thought he was doing a godly work, but yet he wasn't going the direction that God wanted him to go. And because of that, some bad things happened to him. Now, sometimes there are people today that in their mind they're doing the Lord's work, but they're not doing it according to God's will. I know that there are good-hearted men today in the ministry who have a great desire to see people get saved, who want desperately to do the work of the Lord, but the Lord hasn't called those people into the ministry. I know people today who want to serve the Lord, but you know, they have a zeal to serve the Lord, and people have great ambition to do the work of the Lord, but they never seek God's will on what to do. In other words, they'll say this, I have a zeal to do the Lord's work, so I'm going to do this. But they never pray and see if God wants them to do that. And every time that I see that happen, I see people struggling in the Lord's work. I always see that. And so the first thing I ask is, did the Lord call you to do that? Are you sure the Lord called you to do that? Doesn't mean there ain't going to be rocks in the road every now and then. We understand that. But listen, if you're constantly struggling, you're constantly struggling in whatever ministry you're trying to do, and it just doesn't seem to be working out, constant struggling, then you need to ask yourself, am I really doing what the Lord wants me to do, or do I just have so much zeal to do something for the Lord that I'm just going to do it and I'm going to push aside God's will on this thing? Listen, it has to be God's will in order. I mean, you want to do God's will, and it may not be what you necessarily have a desire to do, but you got to be doing God's will. Paul had ambition. He had great zeal to serve the Lord. He wanted to see the Jews saved, but he's more interested in doing things according to his will rather than according to God's will. And all of us should be willing to serve the Lord. Every one of us should be. And all of us should be busy about our Father's business. But we must do it on God's terms, not on ours. And when we decide to serve the Lord according to God's terms, we sure will save ourselves a lot of trouble. We learn from this account of Paul that God uses different means to reveal himself to us. We also learn that obeying God's will always save us plenty of troubles. And then the third thing we learn is this. And this is so important, and that is a burden does not always constitute a call. A burden does not always constitute a call. In other words, a burden or a call, a burden and a call are not the same things. Now, today, many Christians have blurred the lines between the two. So much so that when a person says, my burden is to this place, or my burden is to go to Timbuktu and minister to people there. Well, you got to be careful of me, because technically a burden and a call aren't the same thing. You should go where you're called, not where you have a burden. Now, we understand burden. Paul had a burden for the Jewish people. Paul had a burden for the nation of Israel. That's where Paul's heart was at. But where was he called to? He was called to the Gentiles. And see, so a burden and a call are not the same thing. A burden is when you have a great amount of care for a person or thing. Paul had a burden for the Jews. He loved them. They were his people. He was willing to be accursed if it meant them being saved. But God did not call Paul to be a minister to the Jews. And so it's possible for you to have a burden for people and God not call you to minister necessarily to those people. And God can call you to minister to certain people who you have no burden for at all. That can happen. Why? Because a burden and a call aren't the same thing. You see, it comes down to this. It's never come down to your feelings, folks. That's one thing that we miss so much. Sometimes there are people today that they don't feel that they're saved because they didn't feel any different after they asked the Lord to forgive them of their sins. There are people today that somehow think that they've lost their salvation because they wake up one morning and they don't feel saved anymore. There are some people today that say, you know what, I just have such a feeling for these people that has to be where God's called me to go. No, it doesn't. Why? Because your salvation and God's will has never been anything about feelings. It's been about what the Word of God says. Hey, listen, you're saved because the Bible says so. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. If you've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. And if you don't feel saved, oh, well, tough. And listen, you can't lose your salvation. You say, well, I don't feel saved anymore. I know I called upon him, but I don't feel you saved anymore. Yeah, but the Bible makes it clear you can't lose your salvation. It's not about your feelings. And I will tell you this, when it comes to the call of God, it's not about your feelings either. Either he's called you to a place or called you to do a ministry or he hasn't. And just because you have a feeling for people doesn't mean that God's called you to those people. And we could prove that because Paul had a feeling for the Jews. But that's not where God called him to be a minister to. He called him to be a minister to the Gentiles. You know, whenever missionaries come in, when I ask them, I ask them this, when did God call you to the area that you're at? That's one of the questions I ask them. And they go through it. And I'm careful to always say, when did God call you to that area? I don't ask them when the Lord put a burden upon their heart. Why? Because I don't know what the burden is. And really, I don't care. What I care about is, where is he called to be? That's the important thing. Because that's where he needs to be, is where God called him to be. You know, there are people today that feel like, you know, I'm being called to be a missionary. But God has not prepared them yet to get them in the mission field yet. And they have a great burden. I know people today that says, you know what, I've always thought I was called to be a missionary over here, but you know, the Lord called me to be a pastor in the United States. Yeah, listen, when, at the end of the day, you need to do what the Lord calls you to do. Now, I'm not saying that if you're called to do a ministry, if you're called to do something, that the Lord isn't going to accompany that with giving you a heart for those people. I'm not saying that he won't. But what I am saying is that he doesn't always do that. He doesn't always do that. Remember this, Paul had a heart for those Jews so much that he was willing to be accursed for them. But God says, I got a mission for you to do over here in Rome. I got a mission for you to do over here in Europe. I want you to go reach those Gentiles. I've already got people that's going to minister to the Jews. You don't need to worry about them. I need you to go minister to the Gentiles. And by the way, because he answered that call, God used Paul to the point to where we're sitting in this church right now because people in Europe got saved. And those people had children, those people had children, those people had children, and all of a sudden we come to the United States and here we are today. Amen? That's because Paul answered the call. He didn't answer the burden that he had. We learned these things, folks. We learned that God, when he reveals his will, he can reveal it to you in many different ways. The important thing is are you going to answer him when he reveals his will to you? When he tells you that something isn't right in your life, whether it be through the Bible, whether it be through preaching, whether it be through that still small voice. The question is are you going to take care of it? Are you going to answer him? Are you going to obey him? He speaks to you in many different ways. And by the way, I've learned this. God is so gracious that he doesn't just warn you once. Though I wouldn't be testing him. But you ever notice that when you're reading your Bible and all of a sudden it tells you that, hey, you're not right there. You ever think about how gracious God is to do that? He's saying, listen, I want you to get right. This isn't right in your life. You realize he could chasten you just like that. And he'd be justified in doing it. But he gives you a warning. And then if you read it, and you may go your own way just like Paul did. And then you come to church and you got that still small voice saying, you know, you still need to take care of that. That's warning number two. And then maybe when the preacher starts preaching, you get that conviction again and that's warning number three. And then after a while, he'll chasten you to get you straightened out. You know what happened to Paul when he went to Jerusalem? He had been warned three times. He gets to Jerusalem, and right there in a trance, God says, get out. These people are going to persecute you. They will not hear the gospel. You know what happened? Paul didn't get out. and what happened to him. Look at all the bad things happened to Paul. You know, when we look at Paul, Paul made mistakes just like we do. And there isn't a person in this room that didn't make the same mistakes that Paul made. Every one of us have gotten warning after warning with the Lord, and we kept on going our way, kept on going our way. Some of us even had good intentions. I'm going to do this, Lord. I just feel like this is what the Lord wants me to do. I just feel like this is what the Lord wants me to do. And you keep on doing it, and the Lord keeps on putting warning signs in front of you. He said, don't do this. This is not what I want you to do. Don't do this. It makes it hard for you. And you just keep on. And then all of a sudden you get into this ministry or you get into whatever you're going to do, and you start to struggle. And you start to have all these different problems. And what we like to do is jump up and say, it must be the devil. It must be the devil that's trying to stop me. Well, maybe it is, but have you ever thought that it might be God saying, this is not where I want you to be, and this is not what I want you to be doing? You know, Paul could have said the entire time, he could have said, listen, I came to Jerusalem because my heart, I have such a heart for these Jews, my burden is for these Jews, and I wish myself be accursed if it meant them to be saved, and I'm here in Jerusalem, they're persecuting me. It must be the devil that's doing this. I wonder if he ever thought that maybe this is not where God wants me to be. That's something we need to think about it too. So tonight, I want you to think about something. Maybe God wants you to do a ministry. Maybe God wants you to do a certain thing. And maybe God's been working on you and leading you that way. Again, the call and the burden are not the same thing. Maybe in a still small voice, you just know that, you know, the Lord's been saying, you need to do this, you need to do this ministry, you need to do this, you need to. May I tell you, the best thing that you can do is just obey the Lord and do it. Because if you do it and you know the Lord is leading you to do it, that'll be the easiest path that you will ever take if you'll just do it. You say, how do you know that? Well, I tell you what, I met a fellow one time, and he was the most miserable person I have ever met in my life. You ever met a person that's just miserable? I mean, if the sun shines, he's sad. If birds are chirping, he's mad. He's just a miserable person. And I could not figure that guy out for a long time. And finally, he came to my office and he said, Pastor, I need to talk to you about something. I said, what's that? And he goes, really, you know what? Years ago, I just felt like the Lord called me to preach and I just didn't do it. I was like, you didn't? I said, do you still think he's calling? He goes, yep. And I've been putting it off for years. And I was thinking to myself, now I understand why you're so miserable. I get it now. God called you to do something. And you went your own way. You went and did something else, thinking you were doing the Lord's work, but he didn't want you to do that. He wanted you in the ministry. I'm not saying the Lord's calling you into ministry tonight, but I'm saying this. The Lord has a plan for your life, and the Lord has something he wants every one of us to do. Amen? Why don't you just do what he calls you to do? It's going to be the easiest road you could ever take, but understand this. A burden and a call is not the same thing. You pray about whatever it is that you think the Lord wants you to do and say, Lord, if you want me to do it, just open the door for it to happen, and Lord, I'll do it. Just go that way. But don't go out on your own will and try to make something happen that the Lord does not have a will for you to do, because it'll never work out. What is the Lord asking you to do tonight? What ministry, if any, is the Lord laid upon your heart? Let's stand.